Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. You could catch all of our Keystone Kickoff Penn State football talk on our app, Keystone Sports, or find us now on Spotify. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andy Shea and Bob Flounders. And first of all, do not worry, we haven't lost Ross. He's out. He's out on an assignment for a couple weeks. We know he's doing his other job.
Jobs.
Yeah, which job would that be?
Yeah, like jobs. Yeah.
He's handling college football games, traveling the country. But I will tell you this. I did some texting with Mr. Tucker yesterday. So I did get some input from him. His comment was, boy, it really sucks to watch all of that Penn State game and not have an outlet to talk about it.
So that means the next time he's on the show, it's just going to be.
Yeah, we may as well just bring
a
loud stream
of consciousness for everything he wants to say from the last couple of weeks. It's going to be pretty funny.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just turn his mic on and the rest of us.
Just turn ours off.
We could go grab lunch or do something like that. All right, guys, we are finally deep into the football season, which means we have a game to look back at, another game to look forward to. Yeah. So I'm calling that deep.
Yeah.
I know you looked at me, Bob, but
it's deep enough.
Exactly. Well, in quarter number one, as usual, we'll do our news and notes segment. In quarter number two, we're going to get Bob and Andy's takeaways from that Idaho game. So that'll be the last look at that. Quarter number three, a chance for Bob and Andy to answer your questions. And in quarter number four, we're going to preview Buffalo.
The Bulls.
Spreads 30?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Started at 22, I believe.
I think that was a bad line. I think it opened at like around 26, 27, and it shot up to 29.5.
I actually saw one where it opened at 22.
Yeah, I don't know if you could bet on that line.
Okay. Well, it was up to 27 mm-hmm. by Monday,
sure.
So it did not take long to get at least partially corrected, and the last I looked, it was at 30. So folks are jumping on that Nittany Lion bandwagon, right? All right, let's get to our news. We'll get this out of the way. This commit came last Sunday. Devin Willock from Paramus, New Jersey, an offensive tackle, 6'6", 345, a three-star. So how are we going to look at this? Glass half full or half empty?
I would just say this. I mean, they got a guy about that size from that part of the country, and he wasn't really a ballyhooed recruit, Steven Gonzalez. So I'll just say this guy might be a tackle, it sounds like, but if he has a career that's kind of as solid as Steven's, then I think that they have a lot of connections in New Jersey. If they like a kid in New Jersey, I think you got to give them the benefit of the doubt.
When it comes to offensive tackles, if Penn State likes a guy, the way the position's set up right now for them, looking at this year and the next 2 years, if they have a chance to get him and they like him, even though it doesn't matter about the star rating, and he's interested in coming to Penn State, they should grab him because they can work and develop anything. They just need more clay to mold with at the position.
I just can't believe that. I mean, a high school kid is that big.
345. You know what? I mean, yeah.
But I think he also fits what we've been seeing, that high upside.
Sure.
Just when you see that kind of size, you say, there's something there. There is at least an upside there. So nice to see another offensive lineman. Let's move on. There was a new depth chart put out this week, Andrew. Not a lot of changes.
Not really, other than we did learn this week, and I kind of wondered on Saturday about Damian Barber, because you saw Fred Hansard in there, and you were like, why is Fred in there? Where's Barber? Yeah. Where's Barber? So he was suspended.
Yeah. And again, if you do not ask James specifically about a player being available that's not hurt, he's not giving anything away. I mean,
no.
Donovan Johnson's also back for this week, and he's now on the second team. So their corner room even got stronger. And it's almost like Cam Brown didn't play last week. So I almost think that's a depth chart addition as well.
Yeah. I mean, I saw him warming up at halftime like he was going to play.
I think he played three snaps.
I was going to say, did he play a series?
He played in the second half.
Yeah, that was it. There's no need to play him. But
the one other addition was in the first week's depth chart, there was no Weston Carr.
Ooh. He was a little productive there in the second half.
So he did make it onto the depth chart this week. So
yes.
That's a good sign.
I think James
for him.
is starting to get. I would not be surprised if next week there is a fifth string tailback and he's going to put Jurie on the depth chart after that run against Idaho. That was an impressive run. I mean, James got a little bit of a guff on social media about running up the score. Personally, I didn't see it that way. Anyway, I think some people just have it in their heads. In the past, there might have been a couple instances where maybe he did some things when they were up late. But this, he did everything he could to shorten the game. He literally emptied his bench. They scored a couple of touchdowns, but it's like James said, you guys, this is something they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. And you can't ask a kid that's never probably going to get in a game again not to play hard.
You can't ask him to play hard. They scored 79 points and won by 72, but it wasn't even remotely close to running up anything. I mean, you could argue on some fronts that in the 70s might have been a kind of a low number based on the way the game started.
Well, and let's face it, if you're talking about running it up when a fifth string running back scores a touchdown, that's not running it up. And the other thing, a point I'd like to make is in that first quarter when it was still
6-0,
he substituted liberally.
I mean, I think you're going to see that, not to get ahead of ourselves. I think you'll see that against Buffalo if the situation presents itself. I think they're trying to create depth. They know they have talented players, and it's going to only make them a better team once the Big Ten season starts.
You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. All right, other news from this week. I was interested. I listened to some of James Franklin's scrum with the media.
95 minutes on Tuesday. He sat at the podium.
How long was it?
95 minutes.
Wow.
1 hour and 35 minutes.
Wait, was that all him or wasn't it?
I think it was the players, too.
Yeah, some of
it definitely wasn't counts. 95 minutes. They won't let him talk longer than like 45.
Online, the span of
the
it
whole
was
thing.
An hour and a half, but that did include, Bob, the other players. But there were a couple interesting tidbits. The one that I took note of was he was asked about the running backs, and he said, oh, it's a great thing to have four running backs that he could substitute in. It makes things easier.
I agree with him. I think I thought the most impressive running back on again, this is going to be in quarter two. I shouldn't say that, but he did say that we're gonna. You can tell it's too serious for Ricky. It's too serious for Journey. They want to get Noah Kane in, and then Devin Ford's the next man up, and they kind of go from there unless it's a blowout. But I believe that he in the fourth quarter of a game that's kind of hanging in the balance, he's going to play the guy that has been the most productive up to that point. I think that the separation, he said after the spring that Slade and Journey had separated themselves from Noah Kane. I think after August, I think it's been contracted. I really think that it's that tight of a room and they're all unique talent. So I just think that, I think there's an opportunity every week for one of these guys to kind of assume command.
Andy, can he keep four running backs happy the rest of the season?
I think the question he was asked was about, is it difficult for the coaching staff to manage four running backs? And he said he actually sees it as easy because they have enough talent to use them all. And then he made the caveat about the hot hand. They'll be able to analyze who has the hot hand in a big game in a tight spot and go from there was what he said. So
it's a motivation for the practice week too.
And look around.
No one's going to be bringing it 60% of the time on the practice field. Now they all know that the guy that practices the best is positioned to play the most.
And look around college football, even with some of the elite backs, Travis, Etienne at Clemson, 12 carries, DeAndre Swift, 9 or 10 carries. They use three and four running backs. Now, Clemson was a blowout, but they still were all consistently using three running backs, and they have like elite star type running backs, and they're still not using a one back set.
These guys are pretty good too.
They're
not as good as the Clemson back, but these guys are pretty good.
Yeah, collectively they're better than, they might be one of the top you know, 5 or 10 groups
depth
in the country.
I would say depth chart. I would put Penn State's running back depth chart up against at least anyone in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree. So he's going to – you have it. Why hide it and not use it?
And I believe the other advantage for the players is you don't get many miles on you before it's time to play on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of getting some mileage on you, James Franklin was also asked about Will Levis, and what did he have to say, Bob?
Yeah, so the question's a good one, because he was asked about what he saw, because Will got to play after the first series of the third quarter. He turned the offense over to Will, and Will played, I would say, 4, 5, 6 possessions, and he ran the ball quite a bit. Will is one of the bigger quarterbacks Penn's has had in a long time, and he got a little too. James felt he was a little too aggressive running the ball, and he said, "You know, you got to get down. You cannot try and show off." He was actually took a little shot at him. He said, "We get it. You've been in the weight room with Deej." So I think James is clearly trying to send a message to Will, and it's for his own good. You can't let a defense take extra shots at you. Like,
correct.
One is enough. Believe me, they all take their toll as the season goes on.
There's a potential that he could play, you know, 3, 4, 5 series in at least coming up this week.
He's also the guy
Buffalo,
if anything happens to Sean.
And he's the guy behind Sean, and James is protecting that asset. James not saying, you know, while I like it as the football coach, the CEO of the program's like, dude, get down. Help me out. Don't get hurt in mop-up time. As my go-to guy if something happens to Sean.
Is he Tommy Stevens part two?
No, I don't think he is. I don't think he's the running threat that Tommy... By the way, Tommy did very well in his opener. We should probably say something a little bit about that.
Yeah.
I think he threw for two, ran for one. Good for him. But yeah, I don't think he's quite the runner that Tommy is. But I don't know that Tommy is quite the arm talent that this guy has.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think Tommy's arm talent is as strong. And I watched a little bit of the Mississippi State game. And
yeah, give me the quick. You weren't that thrilled with him. I said
he's still tucking it really fast, and he's not patient yet. And you know, Joe will work that out with him, but he's really quick to tuck it, and he doesn't keep his eyes downfield still.
And
but
that's
just an analysis thing. He did fine.
And that
good for him.
He
hasn't
played in like 4 years.
I know. It's the first time he ever played really as a starting quarterback.
And he was healthy.
And he was healthy, yes.
And he came out of the game healthy. I think that's the most important thing for Tommy. All right, that's going to be it for quarter number one. In quarter number two, although we touched on it a little bit, we're going to get Bob and Andy's takeaways, what stood out to them from the Idaho game. Stick with us.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.